did. Well, it's so good to see everybody here today. It's wonderful to see some new faces. Welcome to Family Church. We're just so glad to have you. Are you glad to be in church here today? Amen. And we welcome those that are visiting. It just means the world to have new faces with us all the time. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. And like Pastor Brad mentioned over there in Jeremiah 29:11, God has got a good plan for your life, and we want to get you connected to His plan. It's not our opinions that count. It's His word that counts. Amen. In church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. So glad to see you. The only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Amen. Well, Communion Sunday. Are you ready for it? Amen. This is a sacred time. It's a holy ordinance that Jesus gave to the church that we would take communion together. It's also called the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table, and it is a very holy time. So go ahead and join me over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 17, and today we're going to talk about the significance of Holy Communion and what it means and what it does for us in our relationship with the Lord. There was two ordinances that Jesus gave to the church that we are to observe until He comes. One of them is water baptism. The other is the Lord's Supper or communion. Amen. And today we're going to be partaking of communion. And if you're here and you're wondering, what do I have to do? What do I have to know in order to take communion in this church? We know that some churches, they have a membership class and you've got to take, classes or communion class or something like that. Folks, we don't do that here because that's not in the Bible. And we, of course, understand churches, if they want to do that, that's fine. But the qualification to receive communion is that you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that you're walking in fellowship with Him, and also you're walking in fellowship with His church. I'm talking about a local fellowship of believers just like this one. It doesn't have to be this one, right? But a local fellowship where you're walking with other believers and that you're in, a fellowship and communication and you're worshiping together and serving one another in a local church. Amen. And now we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 17. And I'll tell you what, this chapter is so interesting when it talks about the significance of what communion is and how we're supposed to observe it. And as a pastor, verse 17 just stands out as one of the most unique verses in all of the New Testament because Paul the Apostle is writing this to a church just like this one. That church in Corinth, it had a pastor, they had a meeting place, they had worship services, they had prayer meetings, they had all these same things that we have, and yet Paul was aware of what was going on in that church, and then he says this in verse 17, and not all that was going on in that church was good. He had to correct some things. And look at, he's actually talking specifically about communion. They were getting together for the Lord's Supper, and people were just coming in. There were people that were just trying to get food for themselves. There were people that were bringing more for themselves so they could, withhold it from others. There were those that were being selfish, those that were seeking and pursuing the church just to enrich their own lives and all that stuff. All the same heart issues that were going on back then are the same heart issues that we will be tempted with today. And folks, as we get into this passage of Scripture, we're going to see just how essential our attitudes and actions are when it comes to the local church. Look at verse 17. Now, if you want to see all the things that the Corinthian church was doing, read this chapter. They were doing a whole bunch of selfish stuff. They were criticizing one another. They were divided from one another. They were fighting and strifing and jealousy and envy and all this stuff. Not saying that we have much of that here, but we all need to be reminded of this on a constant basis. Paul says this. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." When the apostle tells you that, that's going to get your attention. He says, what I'm about to say, he's like, I don't have any commendation for you. I do not congratulate you. I do not commend you on this. He says, because I praise you not that when you come together, and specifically he's talking about communion, when you come together in worship and communion, or you could say it this way, when you come together in church, you Corinthian Christians, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Here they were churchgoers. Here they were born again Christians. Here they were coming into the house of God. And yet the scripture says something so amazing here. Paul said, when you come to worship, the Christians in Corinth, he said, it's actually not helping you. It's actually hurting you. Wow, isn't that amazing? And now when we hear that, we say, oh my goodness, it's dangerous to go to church. No, it's not dangerous to go to church. But it is dangerous to go to church for the wrong motives. It is dangerous to go to church with the wrong attitudes. It's dangerous to be part of a fellowship and then attack one another or criticize one another, right? It's wrong to go to church just to seek something for yourself. Church is where we go for selfishness to die, right? We should crucify our flesh. We should put ourselves under and serve one another. Folks, you're going to see that communion is not just about our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about our relationship one to another in the local church. And this is not family church's idea. This would be true in any church that declares the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, I praise you not, because when you're coming together, it's not for the better, but it's for the worse. And the reason was is that they were coming in for communion, and some were just hurrying up and taking it without even waiting for the others. You know, they were being dishonorable to their fellow brothers and sisters. They were creating factions and divisions. Others were trying to impress other churchgoers by all that they had, you know, blaming those that don't have as much, trying to make themselves look better. All these same heart issues will tempt us if we're not careful. Amen. Communion isn't just about our loyalty to the Lord. It is not just about his loyalty to us. It is about our loyalty to one another. Amen. Now, for the sake of time, if we were to read, the next half a dozen scriptures, you would see Paul starts to rebuke them for all these things that they were doing, fighting, jealousy, divisions and strife and criticisms and dishonoring one another in the house of God. That's why it was worse for them. Folks, if we're not careful, if we, mishandle the local church, if we're dishonorable in the house of God, it can produce a lot of harm for us. But the good news is when we walk when we conduct ourselves appropriately in the house of God, it'll bring great blessing to our lives. Amen. Go down to verse 23. So if we were to read from verse 17 on down to verse 23, you would see all those things that I'm describing, all their pettiness, their divisions, their fighting. Folks, it's wrong to come into the house of God and start trying to produce division. It's wrong to come into the house of God and start complaining about every little thing. You know, it's wrong to speak against leadership. It's wrong to speak against your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wrong to look at what they're doing and start putting them down. We don't have much of a problem of that here, but it will always try to creep into our lives and to try to creep into our church. Can't let that happen. Amen. And so Paul starts telling them the correct way to receive communion and what communion is about and how communion will produce blessing in our life. Or, God forbid, it would produce harm in our lives if we take it wrong. Look at verse 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, whenever you hear a mention of the body of Christ, you should start thinking about what? The church. remember, the Bible calls the church the body of Christ. And you're going to see how Jesus broke his body on that cross so that his body would not be divided in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, "For this do in remembrance of me." He said, "After the same manner, he also took the cup after he had eaten, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Woo, boy. Now, when we see something like that, a lot of people start getting nervous. They start to feel, oh my goodness, I better not take communion, because what if I am taking communion unworthily? Well, folks, let's address that unworthily part right there. Folks, if you are living in constant criticism with your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have a heart's desire to attack the local church, if you have a heart's desire, you know, or a mind, if you're giving into thoughts of hating your brothers and sisters, attacking church leadership, then absolutely you should not take it. You should not take it. You know, if you're living in unforgiveness, if you are living in a constant state of strife, if you are living in a relationship where, you know, you are constantly fighting and toiling, well, then the Bible says, we're going to see here in just a moment, that you're going to need to examine your own heart. Amen. You're going to need to examine yourself. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Folks, today before we receive communion, we are going to have an opportunity to judge our own selves. Look at verse 29, and he tells us that right there. He says, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Wow. See, when we talk about the body of the Lord, we're not talking about just the body that was broken on the cross. We're talking about the church. Amen. He is telling these Corinthian Christians, because of their fights with one another, because of their hatred for one another, because of their divisions, because of their criticisms, because of the way they conducted themselves in the church, if they then take and receive communion with hatred for their brothers and sisters in their heart, it will bring damnation upon them. Woo! Boy, I tell you what, it matters how we think about the local church. Boy, and I know this is not a message that many churches will preach, but it matters how we view the Lord's body. It matters how we love one another in the local church. We don't compete against each other. We don't hope that one another fails, you know? We don't look at the church as just a place where, well, I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna have my little social society there, you know? Churches are more and more becoming just, you know, venues of entertainment, social circles, you know, games and sports and all these activities. And I'll ask people, I'll say, "Oh, really? Well, who's the pastor? Who's your pastor?" "Oh, I don't know." I've had people say, "I don't even know who the pastor is." Folks, if we are living that kind of life, you know, I'll tell you what, then we take of communion, it is going to be for the worse, not for the better. I would be a poor pastor if I didn't let people know what the scripture says about taking communion. Amen. Look at this. It says, "They did not discern the Lord's body." Paul is saying in verse 29, he's saying to these Christians in Corinth, he's saying, "You don't understand. You know, you didn't discern those people that were in those seats next to you. You didn't understand the loyalty to your local church was going to affect your life. You didn't realize that communion was about loyalty to your fellow brothers and sisters." Amen. And people don't want to hear that. Oh boy. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. Folks, we have to know and understand. If we start attacking one another, we're attacking the Lord himself. If we start attacking other Christians, we're attacking the Lord himself. If we seek to, you know, complain and to resist leadership and all that, what are we doing? We're attacking the Lord himself. That's how the scripture puts it. And now look at this in verse 30. It says, for this cause, what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding that the people that you worship with are part of the body of Christ. He says, for this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That word sleep isn't talking about taking a nap or getting 8 hours of rest at night. The word there, sleep, it means to die prematurely. All right? Paul warned them in Corinth. He says, judgment is going to fall upon you because of your divisions within your own church. He says, and then you take communion with animosity and hatred against your brothers and sisters, and now it's going to produce physical weakness in your body, sickness in your body, or even premature death. Oh boy, it sure is quiet in here. But yet, so many Christians in our day and age, we just attend church casually. Hey, where are you going to go? I don't know. I'll just go wherever, you know, do whatever. Oh, I'll complain about them. And, you know, I'll talk against this person over here. Be careful about that. For this cause, many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep. And people say, oh, pastor, that just seems so negative about church and about communion. But think of the other side of it. Think of the good news for us. That if we walk in love in our local church, it won't produce weakness, sickness, and short life. It'll produce strength, health, and long life. Amen. Think of the blessing that God has given us by giving us the local church so we can walk in strength, in health, and long life. Amen. Praise the Lord for this cause. Now look at verse 31. Verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I'm going to say that again. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves instead of judging somebody else in the body of Christ. If we would look inwardly and correct our own hearts. If we would examine our own selves, we would not be judged. That's very interesting because the Bible is saying that judgment fell upon those Christians because they mishandled the local church. They mishandled their own church family. They brought division and strife and attack. Folks, I'm here to tell you, listen, yes, there is a warning that comes from the New Testament. There is a warning that comes to the New Testament about not attacking your brothers and sisters. All right. Why? Because God wants you to live strong. He wants you to live healthy and long lives. But when we attack the local church, all right, the Bible says that judgment falls. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:17, it says judgment must begin with the house of the Lord. I tell you what, we don't have the luxury of just having any old attitude that we want when it comes to the local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. He's talking about communion. That's why we're going to take communion honorably. Why do we all wait and we all take of that bread at the same time? Why do we wait to drink that cup all at the same time? Because communion is not just about our individual relationship with the Lord. It is an expression of our loyalty and our honor to one another. Amen. God says when you come together to take communion, wait all at once. God isn't interested in what we do as individuals. He is interested in what we do together. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another, honor one another because it is a declaration of your loyalty to your brothers and sisters. Amen? Praise God. We might as well just, you know, honor the Lord, honor each other, and watch God keep us strong, healthy, and give us long life. Amen? And so today we are going to be doing this. What we're going to do here in just a few moments, we are going to have the ushers are going to set up four different stations to receive the elements. There's going to be a station at each of the corners of the sanctuary. There will be two up front. There will also be two in the back corners. And I'm going to be giving you instructions here in just a moment of where to go. We're going to, like we always do, we're going to be standing and we're going to be serving ourselves. Folks, with this many people, if we have all the ushers just go to everybody individually, we'll be here until 4 p.m. All right. And so that way you can go and receive the elements. And then when everybody has been served, when everybody has the elements, we will pray, we will wait, we'll make sure that everyone has a chance to be served, and then we are going to honor the Lord, we're going to show his death until he comes, and then we're going to honor one another, amen? And then we'll receive communion together. And so praise the Lord. So real quickly before we do that, let's just talk about the qualifications for receiving communion in the house of the Lord. Number one qualification is that you've been born again, that you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, that you've done what the Bible says over in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, right? You have to be saved to receive communion. Amen. You have to receive Jesus. You have to know him. You have to be walking with him. Here's the second thing that you need to know. We've already discussed here. Folks, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, or if you have unconfessed sin, what we're going to do while the elements are being distributed, Reverend Tony and the team, we're going to be having a time of song. And as you're sitting in your seat waiting to take communion, if there's any sins that you need to confess, confess them. This is a great opportunity to get right with the Lord. If there's any kind of strife or unforgiveness between you and somebody else, or if you've been walking in a way that attacks the local church, I don't mean just this church institution, you know what I mean? But if you've been walking in any way, any animosity against other Christians, you need to repent of that before the Lord. And so the Bible says that we have an opportunity to examine ourselves, judge ourselves, so that we would not be judged. Isn't it good that God has the mercy to give us that opportunity? He says, let them examine yourself and then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So folks, communion is not for those that have just acted perfectly, but it is for those that will examine their own hearts and judge themselves if need be. Folks, you better believe today before I take communion, I'm going to be sitting in that chair and I'm going to be waiting for everyone to be served. I'm going to be examining my own heart. Am I at odds with anybody? You know, am I offended at anybody? If so, I'm going to let that go. Amen. I'm not aware of it, but if I'm down there talking to God and he says, hey, you mistreated so-and-so or you've been this way or God speaks in my heart and says, you need to confess, I'm going to do it. Amen. It's a moment of examining our hearts and judging ourselves. Why? Because God's so merciful to give us a chance so we can receive that life, so we can receive that strength, that health, and that long life. Amen. And so you do not have to be an official member of Family Church, you know, to receive communion today. We don't have an official membership here. There were years and years ago we did, and you know what? You know, I saw as the pastor is that people would take the membership class and stuff and they'd sign on the dotted line and all this stuff. And really what it came down to, it wasn't a matter of what class you took. It was a matter of our actions from our heart to be loyal and faithful to where God planted you in the house of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he sets the members in the body of Christ where it pleases him. Folks, if you are called to be part of Family Church, then be the greatest part you can be, right? Amen. Or if you're looking for a church, keep praying. The Lord has a place for you. If it's here, we'd love to have you here. If you're called to be somewhere else in the body of Christ, we want you there, right? But if we know we're called to this fellowship, right, Let's give our best. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so at this time, those are our only qualifications. You need to be born again, right? Also, we need to examine ourselves if there's anything in our lives that we need to repent for in those moments before we take communion. You can get that right. And so at this time, ushers, if you would like to go ahead and get the stations ready, I'm going to call the worship team up here as well. What we're going to do, I'm going to give you some instructions here as everybody is getting ready. Folks, what we're going to be doing here, like I said, there's going to be two stations up front. There's going to be two stations in the corners in the back. I'm going to place a couple of ushers in our aisles, and Reverend Justin is going to show us right here. If you are in that row that he's standing with, if you are in that row even with him and forward, you will come to the front to receive your elements. If you are behind that row that he is representing, then you will go back to the corner, the back corner of the sanctuary to receive the elements. I will dismiss a couple of different sections at a time so we don't create a bottleneck. And so we have gotten this down to a science to make sure that we have an orderly communion service. Praise God. And as this worship song is played, take that opportunity, praise God, to examine yourself. And so if you're in that row, even with Pastor Brad and Reverend Justin and forward, you'll be able to come down front when your section is called. If you're behind them, you will go to the back stations to receive your communion elements. Praise the Lord. Are we all set on all four corners? Do we have this rear station ready to go? Praise the Lord. We want to make sure. We're on it. Praise God. And so at this time, I'm going to start with this section over here. So if you are ahead of that row, you can come on forward right now. If you're behind that row, you can head to the back. Praise the Lord. And then what we'll do this section over here at the same time. And so go ahead this section. You can stand and come on forward or head on back to receive your elements. And then I'll dismiss the other sections here in just a few moments.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Father, you are holy. And Lord, we know that this is a holy, sacred time. And Father, we just thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for us. We thank you for the blood that was shed so that we could have the remissions of sins. Father, we thank you for this great salvation that by faith we can receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That, Father, that we can confess him, that we can confess that he rose again so that we could have eternal life. We just bless you. We glorify you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I know we're about to receive communion here in just a moment. First of all, we've taken this time to examine ourselves, to judge our own hearts, to make sure that we receive communion with honor, not only in our loyalty to the Lord, but our loyalty to one another. Because we know that communion is all about covenant. It's about being faithful to Jesus. It's about being faithful to his body. But if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never personally received him. I don't know if I were to die today, if I were to be separated from God in a place called hell, or if I'd be in heaven with him. If you're unsure, I've got good news. You can get sure right here and right now. I've already spoken this verse over there in Romans 10:9. It says that if you'll speak or declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to send a church leader to you or anything like that. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I want to be born again so that I know that heaven is my home. I need to know that my sins are forgiven. I need to know that when I leave this earth, that I'm going to be in heaven. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And once I see your hand, I'll just say, I see that hand. You can put it down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart. Is there anyone here today that say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I need to be born again. I need my sins to be cleansed. If that's you, could you just real quickly put your hand in the air? Is there anyone that would say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior? I see that hand and that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. God loves you. Is there anybody else before we pray that would say, Pastor, I need to invite Jesus into my heart. I want to know that eternal life is mine. Anyone else that wants to pray before we pray this prayer? We had a couple of hands. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer together. If you lifted your hand, pray this prayer with all your heart. God will hear you. Speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. We're all going to be praying right along with you. Let's all pray this together. Everyone say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And you know, when you pray that and you mean it with your heart, you know what? And if you want to receive communion, even 10 seconds after you meant that with your heart, God will absolutely rejoice in that. Amen. And so before we take communion, is there anybody here that has not been served but would like to be served? Even if you were shy to come forward, or maybe, you know, you just prayed that prayer and now you want to receive communion, is there anybody that has not been served that would like to be served? We have our ushers here waiting to serve you. You can just go ahead and lift your hand. Is there anybody that would like to be served that has not had that opportunity? Praise God. I don't see any hands. We have all of our audio, video, our worship team, our ushers. Is everybody served, Pastor Brad, that we are aware of? And then, of course, after service, I will go and serve communion to all those that are serving in our nursery, in our children's ministries. We make sure that we don't forget anybody. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for these elements. Thank you for what they represent. Thank you that this bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. It was broken so that there would be no divisions within the body, the church. That, Father God, it makes us loyal to you, but it also brings loyalty to one another. That, Father, that we understand that the people around us are not just strangers. They're not just people that we happen to go to the same church with. Father God, they are the Lord's body. And Lord, we know that there's no perfect church on this earth. There's no person that does everything exactly right. Lord, we're going to have many opportunities to forgive one another, and we're going to have many opportunities to be forgiven ourselves. Thank you, the body was broken so that we could be forgiven. Father, we thank you for this cup that is the blood of the New Testament, that it represents the blood that was shed upon the cross by Jesus Christ so that our sins could be washed away. Father, we thank you. We do these things in remembrance of Christ, and we do show his death until he comes again. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We just receive these elements blessed to our bodies. In the name of Jesus Christ. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat. On the same night, after he had eaten, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup," or the blood of the New Testament, "that is given to you for the remission of sins. And as often that you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes again. Take and drink." Dear Father God, we just praise you. Father, we glorify you. Father, we know this is not a ritual, Father, but it is symbolic of what the body and the blood means. And Father God, we just are here today dedicating ourselves to you, dedicating ourselves to one another, to be loyal, to be faithful. Father, we just praise you. Father, we pray that your will is done in our lives. Father, your will is done in this church, and that everything said and done would glorify you. Father, I pray that the church, these people, would be edified in the things of the Word and the things of the Spirit. Father, I pray that you would draw them close to you, that they would be in close fellowship, that, Lord, that all the will of God would be performed in their lives. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. We worship you, Lord God. You are holy and you are good. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. At this time, I'm going to ask if everyone could go ahead and stand to their feet. Reverend Tony and team, can we just sing a couple times through about the blood of Jesus? Oh, precious is that flow. Come on, church, let's sing this together. Church, let's lift our hands and give the Lord praise and glory. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you, Lord God. Father, have a greater way in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this special church family. Lord, I just command your hand of blessing upon each one. upon each family. Father, we thank you. We're going to live in strength. We're going to live in health. We're going to live in long life. We thank you for the local church. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.